Its foundation is on solid ground. Do we roll up our sleeves and repair it, or burn it down? And I keep waiting for you to forgive me. And you keep saying...
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. House Republicans will meet tonight behind closed doors. They'll try to figure out how to keep their pledge to offer more aid to Israel in the wake of this past weekend's attack by Iran and whether to pair it with aid to Ukraine. That's been a major sticking point among GOPs. A small win for former President Trump as his hush money trial begins. The prosecution will not be allowed to use the Access Hollywood tape in the proceedings.
What I think we're going to hear a lot of when reporting comes out of what was argued in this court is going to hear this phrase a lot, saying more prejudicial than probative. And that's probably the reason why the tape was denied. It's too prejudicial for you to hear the former president's own words saying you can just come up on them and grab them by this. And the judge will say, well, what is this really probative of? What are we learning from this other than making Donald Trump look like a bad guy? Which in many ways is what the prosecutor wants to kind of convince the jury.
ABC News legal correspondent Brian Buckmeyer. Israel's war cabinet met again to consider a response to the weekend missile and drone attacks by Iran. This is ABC News. A bishop and several others stabbed during a sermon in Sydney, Australia, which was streamed online. The attacker has been arrested. None of the injuries are life-threatening. The incident comes after a deadly knife attack over the weekend at a Sydney mall.
Flags at half-staff on a day of national mourning. And outside of the mall where the attack took place, a growing sea of floral tributes.
Everyone seems very respectful and very somber.
Prime Minister Albanese.
This act of senseless violence has shocked the nation, and we all grieve with them today.
A 40-year-old man with known mental health problems killed six people, five of them women, in the attack. Tom Rivers, ABC News, at the foreign desk.
A search is underway for two suspected vandals in Nevada. Two men are wanted for toppling ancient boulders at Lake Mead National Recreation Area. The men could face felony charges, including fines and possible jail time. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. Not one based on the driver who treats the highway like a racetrack and the shoulder like a passing lane. Why pay a rate based on anyone else? Get one based on you with DriveWise from Allstate.
Not available in Alaska or California. Subject to terms and conditions. Rates are determined by several factors, which vary by state. In some states, participation in DriveWise allows Allstate to use your driving data for purposes of rating. While in some states, your rate could increase with high-risk driving. Generally, safer drivers will save with DriveWise. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
If you need bold banners to boost your business, but you're on a budget, think Staples. Posters, flyers, signs, and menus for less? Think Staples. Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward. Now at Staples, save $50 on your print purchase of $150 or more. Same-day service available on hundreds of items if you order by noon, and all backed by Staples Print Perfect Guarantee. So it's done right or it's printed again free. Staples, your local print and marketing expert. N61, visit staples.com/print for details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayla. Fire danger remains high in Wisconsin.
Over the weekend, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources asked the public to stay vigilant and avoid all outdoor burning due to elevated fire danger across the state. 35 fires on Saturday burned approximately 300 acres, the single most active wildfire day so far this year. Several fires had potential for large fire growth in northwestern Wisconsin. On windy, dry days, embers from any fire, especially burn piles and campfires, can easily get out of control and cause a wildfire if not properly extinguished. Again, the DNR asking everyone to avoid all burning until conditions improve. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A man is in critical condition after being shot by law enforcement in Grand Chute Friday night. The Wisconsin Department of Justice says when Outagamie County Sheriff's deputies responded to a crash in front of a bar, they saw a person with a knife. After using a taser on the person without success, one of the deputies fired their gun at the person, who was taken into a hospital with critical injuries. No officers were hurt in the incident. The deputies involved are on administrative leave as the Justice Department's Division of Criminal Investigation looks into the matter. Dairy milk remains safe despite avian influenza being detected in some herds. Adam Brock is with the State Ag Department's Bureau of Food Safety.
There is a very low risk of anybody contracting avian influenza from their milk supply. There's procedures and hurdles in place. And as always, pasteurized milk from you get from your local quick trip or wherever you're going, that's all going to be pasteurized. Your cheese is all taken care of.
H5N1 bird flu has been identified in at least a dozen dairy herds across six states. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
It's Customer Appreciation Day at Duran Napa this Friday from 9 to 3. There'll be a free lunch from 11 to 1, door prizes, and a Milwaukee Tools sidewalk sale. Reps will be on site to answer all your questions on Milwaukee Tools for your shop. Farmers, get your equipment ready for spring planting with specials on hydraulic hoses, oils, tools, toolboxes, and much more. Save up to 50% on Evercraft specialty tools during Customer Appreciation Day this Friday from 9 to 3 at Duran Napa, Madison Street, downtown Durand.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Another beautiful day on tap with mostly sunny skies and high temperatures flirting with 70 degrees. Clouds begin to increase tonight and winds start to get feisty as tomorrow a major storm strikes, bringing drenching rain, thunderstorms, and vicious winds. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now it's 62 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Catch up with Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. Then we'll hear from Rob Fox, Director of the Knowledge Exchange Division at CoBank. And we'll chat with Dr. Megan Niederwerder, Executive Director at the Swine Health Information Center. Right after the news from Michelle Rook, we'll get a weather update from Brett Waltz of BAMWX. I'm producer Big Apple Joe Stackler, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Big Apple Joe, thank you so much. 63 degrees, beautiful sunshine, barely a wind blowing out there. Day two of gorgeous days in April are on us right now. We've got some weather coming in, no question about it. But, boy, is it gorgeous out there right now. Welcome. Welcome to AgriTalk. Glad that you are here. Davis is taking a couple of days off. That's why Big Apple Joe is here with the intros. And, of course, that is why Michelle Rook is here with the news. Michelle, it's good to talk with you. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great and enjoying the weather just like you.
Yeah, no kidding. Here we go. They getting much done up in South Dakota?
Not a lot yet. I think there was a lot of concerns about this little bit of a frost scare around the 20th. And so most of the guys I talked to anywhere in the Dakotas over into Minnesota and parts of Iowa said, hey, we're going to hold off until that. And we just got past the crop insurance start for a lot of guys. So I think we're going to get in the field here pretty quick, though.
Yeah. Yeah. There was quite a fair amount of seed went in the ground. I don't know if it was corn or soybeans, but a fair amount of seed went in the ground on Saturday. I did not see a lot of activity on Sunday in northeast Iowa, but the few producers that I talked to over the weekend kind of decided, hey, we're going to wait until this storm system is out of the way.
Yeah.
No sense of putting seed in the ground and then getting pounded with 2 or 3 inches of rain to complicate things going forward. Okay, yeah. Boy, we've got a lot to get to today, Michelle. Let's go ahead and get to the news.
Yeah, well, over the weekend, Iran's barrage of missiles and drones targeting Israel amid heightened regional tensions fueled by the Gaza conflict has spurred deliberations within Israel's war cabinet regarding a response. Now, despite intercepting over 99% of the projectiles, Israel remains resolute in determining the timing and scale of its retaliation. In discussions with international counterparts, President Joe Biden's national security team emphasized Washington's stance against participating in offensive actions against Iran. Meanwhile, global leaders have reacted variably.
Yeah, the U.S. obviously took a very active role in defending against this barrage of drones and missiles. But boy, moving forward, Michelle, the commentary has been very much kind of guarded in the U.S. advice to Israel on how to react to this. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I started off with it this morning because I felt like this really had a big role in the marketplace on Friday in terms of reaction. And so maybe we're seeing a little bit more, I guess, cooler heads prevail here today.
Well,
the other thing that's been stirring everything up in the markets has been inflation concerns. Mm-hmm. And this morning, retail sales in March were reported as jumping 0.7% compared to the previous month, surpassing expectations of a 0.3% increase. And this follows an upwardly revised gain of 0.9% in February, indicating continued strength in consumer spending, again, throwing more water on rate cuts coming here during 2024 by the Fed.
Yep.
The Michigan Department of Ag has announced the detection of H5N1 in dairy herds in three additional counties, now bringing the total number of affected counties to four. This is prompting concerns about its spread across state lines, and USDA has advised farmers to test their herds before moving them to prevent further transmission. The outbreak in Michigan adds to a total of 29 infected dairy herds in eight states. A hearing in the House and Senate on the Biden administration's trade policy and continued hearings on fiscal year 2025 budgets are the focus this week. First off, USTR Catherine Tai will appear Tuesday before the House Ways and Means Committee on the Biden administration's trade policy. On Wednesday, she'll address the Senate Finance Committee on the same topic. Farm state lawmakers and farm groups are disgruntled regarding what they believe to be a passive approach by the Biden administration regarding efforts to boost farm commodity exports in light of USDA's estimate of an ag trade deficit of $30.5 billion for this fiscal year. Meanwhile, USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack will appear Tuesday before the Senate Appropriations, Ag Appropriations Subcommittee with the usual round of topics likely to be addressed, including food stamps, farm income, and a new farm bill, ag trade, and animal diseases. Speaking of the Farm Bill, House Ag Committee Chairman G.T. Thompson said he's going to move the bipartisan Farm Bill out of his committee in May. That's a little later than we thought maybe last week. The committee's ranking member, David Scott, said the legislation will move on a joint timeline. And the FBI has opened a criminal investigation into the container ship that took down Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge last month, looking to determine if the ship's crew left the port knowing the vessel was troubled.
Okay. All right, Michelle. Hey, thank you so much. Appreciate you. We'll talk to you this afternoon.
You bet. Thanks.
All right, Michelle Rook. Let's bring in Brett Waltz, BAMWX.com. Good morning, Brett.
Hey, good morning, Chip.
Hey, couple of active days here in the middle of the country, huh?
Yeah, two or three days here of some severe weather chances kind of ramps up today across especially Kansas, Nebraska, and maybe southern South Dakota. I'm definitely concerned about some pretty large hail in some of those storms. Not necessarily a widespread rainmaker, though, across Kansas. I know there are some concerns growing about dryness out there. This won't be a system that brings a lot of rain there. It'll be further off to the north and to the east across Nebraska, Iowa, and South Dakota. And then tomorrow, more severe weather. Iowa, Missouri, Illinois, then into the Ohio Valley on Wednesday.
Now, when you say severe weather, I mean, we're talking about the possibility not only for some hail, but tornadoes as well, correct?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think that both hail and tornadoes and even wind, all three on the table. I think tornadoes may be even a bigger threat tomorrow in Iowa. Certainly still a threat today, but I'm a little bit more concerned about a couple of strong tornadoes tomorrow across northern Missouri and southeast Iowa.
Okay, and then Wednesday into the Eastern Belt, do we need to keep watch?
I definitely do think we need to keep watch. Some of it will depend on how quickly the rain can get out Wednesday morning. But I think, again, kind of all modes, Illinois, Eastern Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, those areas need to be on the lookout.
Gotcha. Okay. Any red flags that we need to be aware of for South America?
You know, I think that while there are some short-term rains out there in Brazil, we are concerned that the rain season could shut off a little bit earlier than normal in central Brazil. So I do think that it could end up drier quicker this year. And be pretty dry through the end of the season.
Okay. All right, boy, we need to keep an eye on things over the next couple, 3 days. Thank you, Brett. Appreciate you, man.
Yep, thank you. Stay safe.
All right, Brett Waltz, BAMWX.com. Coming up next, let's talk used machinery and some of the trends out there. Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete.
Farmers are the heartbeat of rural America. Congress recently invested $20 billion in America's farmers and ranchers, focusing on conservation practices and profits for future generations. Today, these funds are at risk.
You're squawking over $20 billion. That USDA program, it's investment into the future for everybody.
If the funding was eliminated, it could hurt farms and families.
Tell Congress, protect this generational investment in the Farm Bill. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Wake up. Get ready. Grab breakfast. Go to work. Grab lunch. Come home. Run to practice. Run to the store. Grab dinner. Go to bed and repeat. Food fuels your day. And we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
At FBN Finance, we know there's one thing that unites all farmers: progress. It drives them to wake up early and be better than the day before. And whether it's a new land purchase or refinancing your ranch, FBN Finance has the agricultural expertise to help you reach your goals. Simply put, FBN Finance puts farmers first. With great rates, instant approvals, and pre-qualifications on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. And now, you can get $500 off closing costs for loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
There are many reasons growers trust Stein on their operations. For starters, we're home to the industry's highest yielding genetics. But we have something else just as powerful and reliable as our products: service. With Stein, growers have the benefit of leveraging decades of knowledge from our talented agronomy and sales teams. We're ready to walk the field with you to ensure you get the yield benefits Stein Genetics can bring to your farm. Stein Seed. Dedicated to yield. Committed to you.
Machine Repeat here, folks. This segment of AgriTalk brought to you by our friends at Dakota Ag Innovations, makers of Dakota Shine, the best way I've seen to fix faded paint. Go to dakotashine.com or call 888-996-7801. Life is a gamble, a game we all
play, but you need to save something. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Hey, Rock is chiming in on the planting progress out there. He's over in West Central Illinois. He says definitely waiting on corn with wet and cold temps next week. Turning the bean planter loose today on the sandier soils. So, it's off and running. There is definitely no question about that. But a bit of a cautious start for a lot of guys in a lot of areas with these storms that Brett was just talking about. And as Rock mentioned, we've got some cooler temps. I wouldn't call them cold, but definitely cooler than optimum temps in the forecast going forward. All right, it's Monday. That means it's time for a conversation with Greg Peterson. Machinery Pete, how you doing, Greg?
Hey, I'm doing well, Chip. How are you doing this Monday?
Well, I'm doing okay.
Oh, good.
But doggone it, I had to pry myself away from social media a little bit this weekend because I got into a rabbit hole talking about inventories at equipment dealers out there, and the doomsayers were running pretty wild with their ideas of what that might mean for the ag economy going forward, dude.
Yeah, there's definitely the highest level of chatter on the downside that we've seen. And I guess that's interesting, Chip. I started posting on social media. I've actually posted every day since the first week of August of 2009. So we've seen some ups and downs there. And I've heard the chatter, and obviously things are changing. Recalibrating is the word I throw to it. But, you know, when it comes to sentiment or what people think, it's, you know, it's certainly very interesting. I don't really deal in that, though. I deal in what it sold for today and how that compares to yesterday or 5, 10 years ago. And really the buoy in the water is 10 years ago, 2014 into 2015, because in the 34 and a half years I've been doing this, that was the biggest year-over-year drop in used equipment values, particularly large late model used values. Back then, what we saw was it was basically 20 to 25% year-over-year hit. So you have whatever, two-year-old tractor, planter, combine, sprayer. I mean, that was bloody on the dealer side. And I think now it's super interesting because that chatter is real. And obviously farmers are under tremendous pressure, price of corn and beans, and dealers are under pressure, particularly the large ag areas here. If you don't have as much exposure to the livestock side, maybe on the dealer, as much diversification. So when you talk to those dealers, you can hear it. I mean, they're worried. But again, when we look at the auction price data, let's just talk combines here, for example.
Okay.
Now, I ran into that social media whirlwind you were talking about a couple of weeks ago. I posted a note on a John Deere X9-1100 combine with only 107 SEP hours on a 22 model sold on an online sale out of Kansas back like 3 weeks ago, and it brought $573,100, which... It all depends on how you come at that. Now, the gap between what that thing costs new and that hard cash 573 is there's no way to say that. That's just a big old gap. Yeah. But for 25 years, I've been compiling the auction prices and then also comparing them to the current dealer ad price.
Yep.
And so I get this thing, I call it our MPR, machine repeat ratio. It's simple. You just take the average... Excuse me, fighting a cold here, but average auction price divided by average dealer ad price. And historically, it's about 71 to 76% is where it comes out, which if you think about it, you know, an auction, if times are kind of normal, something at auction sells for about three quarters of what it sells for in a dealer lot, kind of makes sense.
Yep.
What I've noticed through the ups and downs is when things get hot, like they were the last 2-3 years, my machine repeat ratio, like last year, was about 85%.
Right.
So auction price was almost what a dealer would get new on a lot or used on a lot. Now, when conversely, 10 years ago in 2014, my machine repeat ratio was like under 60%.
Right.
On planters, on sprayers, on combines. And what I'm seeing right now, we're not there yet. Yeah. I'm not saying we won't get there, but like on a John Deere X9-1100 right now, the machine repeat ratio is 68.9%. So average auction price is just over $500K.
Yeah.
But the average dealer ad price is like $740 roughly.
Okay.
So it's a dance day by day. I would say some other examples here. Again, let's just stay with some common deer models. So like an S790 combine.
Okay.
Now, the last 15 months, the average auction price has dropped. It's dropped 16.3% down to $238,000. Back in 22, it was almost 277. So again, it's recalibrating, it's softening. Mm-hmm. But the difference here is that the price jump of new the last 2-3 years was unprecedentedly high. So now when that X9 sells for 500 and whatever, the ouch the dealer is feeling is like, ooh, it's real. It's a big gap.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is on the auction front, the pricing is actually performing, you know, maybe even better than I would have expected, given how where corn and beans are at.
Gotcha.
And while we're seeing this with the late model stuff, the super high price stuff, we're continuing to see the nicest stuff with some age on it.
Yep.
The pre-def stuff.
See.
There is no slowdown in that stuff. I sent you a note, you know, so my pick of the week this week.
Yeah.
Would have had to have been a 2004 John Deere 8220 that sold last Tuesday up in Ontario, Alvinston, Ontario, farm auction. Okay. Excuse me. About $141,713 U.S. dollars. That's the second highest price ever. But what's interesting, Chip, again, oh, these cold spring colds are tough.
Sorry, man.
Yeah. The highest price ever, the highest price, the buoy in the water, was December 5th of 22, farm auction, Hamlin, Iowa. Now, just think about that date. I think that when we look back on this period we just coming out of,
yep,
this end of 22 might be that high water mark like we saw back in maybe, say, March of 13.
Okay.
Because we saw an 8220 that day on December 5th. We filmed it for our TV show, but it was a very nice one. It had 2,675 hours, brought 182,000. And that went 42K over the record that day. Now, again, last Tuesday, we saw one come in at 141,713. So same sale last Tuesday at a 13 model 8235R. Went for 185,373 U.S., 10th highest ever.
Yeah.
And a 99 model John Deere 9510 combine went for 63,751, second highest in 10 years. So it's a weird market now.
Yeah.
The nice older stuff is what everybody wants. Yeah. That newer stuff is depreciating big, but it's still not dropping as much as it did 10 years ago. And again, maybe in 2-3 months, maybe our data will show that. But right now, we're not quite there.
Greg, we started this conversation, and in my mind, I was thinking that it was the value of the older equipment that is making this different than that 14-15 period. But that might be part of what makes it different, but the lack of that 15-20% pullback in the newer used equipment that's available on the auctions, that's just as important as the value of the older equipment.
Yeah, and if you pull back here on the late model stuff, we started to see it last July. So I'm sure everyone noticed out at auction the huge jump in the number of combines that were hit the auction market. We talked about it every week.
Yeah.
Now, what's different than 10 years ago is there's way fewer dealers, and they're way, way, way bigger than they were 10 years ago.
Right.
Now, it's no less painful for those large dealers to lose $250K in a combine they sell at auction. It sucks if you're that dealer.
Right.
But, you know, it's just a different animal right now, and we're wading into it. But so far, again, I would have expected auction prices, honestly, frankly, to be a little softer.
Yeah.
You know, and people say 573, that was a bloodbath. And it's like, well, yeah, but that's also the fourth highest auction price ever in a combine. So it's interesting day by day to track for sure.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, when markets are recalibrating, you see some strange stuff. And
yeah, you do.
I think you've done a really nice job of tracking that and explaining it. So. All right, get well, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds great, Chip. Have a good week.
You bet. Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. We've got Rob Fox from Cobank next.
When we told growers that Bayer Premium Trifold Herbicide for corn delivers visibly clean fields for up to 8 weeks, they were a bit skeptical.
We'll see how it works.
So we decided to prove it. We set up cameras in multiple cornfields, treated them with Trivolt, and filmed for 24 hours a day. For 8 weeks, we saw a variety of weather conditions, and Trivolt worked. See for yourself at trivoltinaction.com. Trivolt is a restricted-use pesticide. Consult your state pesticide regulator for specific restrictions. Read and follow pesticide label directions.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady Beach. Here we go.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins reporting from the National Association of Broadcasters Convention. May milk up 45 to 1684, June up 43 to 1720, July up 36 to 1777, August up 24 at 1822. Live and feeder cattle markets moving mostly higher with triple-digit gains on a combination of short covering and a positive reaction to the retail sales report, which saw higher retail sales than expected. Hog markets moving mostly higher, strength in pork cutout values and expectations of increasing consumer demand, all helping to support the market. April live cattle up $1.75 to $180.65. April feeder cattle up $2.22 to $239.82. May hogs up 12 cents to $0.94 even. Chicago Board of Trade to corn, soybeans, and wheat all moving up mostly lower. Now the trade continues at the lower end of the trading range. The Daily Wire quiet for the week. And not only for soybeans, but even for corn at only 165,000 metric tons of old crop corn. Wheat markets mostly lower. The plains to see seasonal temperatures, at least in the short term. The dollar is still trading at the upper end of the trading range. May corn down 4 to 431 and a half. New crop down 3 to 469. May beans down 14 and a half to 1159 and a half. New crop down 10 and a half to 1165 and three quarters. May wheat in Chicago down 6 and a quarter to 549 and three quarters.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers at the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Max Armstrong here. The demand for nitrogen has never been higher. Fortunately, Pivot Bio has transformed the way fertilizer is produced and used by farmers. Unlike synthetic nitrogen fertilizers, the cost of Pivot Bio Proven 40 is every bit as consistent as its performance. And since it's applied in furrow at planting, it's weatherproof.
To learn more, contact Bauer Seeds in service in Durand, Wisconsin. Call 715-577-8541.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Affiliate stations or sponsors. If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us on this Monday morning. Davis is taking a couple of days off. He'll be back with us middle of the week. As you know, we have spent a fair amount of time talking about interest rates and inflation and the ag economy and the general economy and what it means for the markets going forward. We are going to continue that conversation going forward and get a highlight of what I think is a really, really top-notch report coming out of CoBank from Rob Fox. Rob is the director of the Knowledge Exchange Division there at CoBank. He joins us right now. Rob, it's great to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm doing great, Chip. How are you?
Doing just fine, just fine. This report that you released last week, I mean, it fits so well with a topic that has come up time and time again in conversations on AgriTalk. Title of the report, Sticky Inflation Puts Federal Reserve on the horns of a dilemma. Let's break that title down just a little bit and start with sticky inflation. How is that defined in this report? And what's the evidence that inflation is, in fact, sticky?
Well, the evidence, there's various ways you can look at inflation. You know, there's the CPI, various different CPI measures and PPI and and core and headline and subtracting this and that and the other one. But the Fed looks at the personal consumption expenditures deflator. That's what it's called. So that strips away the fluctuations in energy and food costs, which you can you can argue with that. But I would say the Fed doesn't have much control over fuel and food costs. So that's what they do look at for good or for bad. So in 2021 and 22, the PCE measure of inflation was running 7, 8, 9%, and this is core. CPI was even higher, and it's steadily come down since late last year, easing down down to that, 2.5 to 3% range. But the problem is, over the past couple of months, we've seen individual metrics that go into this PCE rising, and we're expecting for the first quarter, the PCE is going to jump up probably to about 3.5%, which we'll find that out here in a few weeks. But that's way too high for what the Fed wants to do. But, the horns of the dilemma that I'm describing is that our economy is doing okay. It's doing better than what everybody or a lot of people thought. Most people, economists, at the end of the year last year figured, hey, we're probably going to have a recession. We've gone through the highest, fastest rate increase cycle in the past 40 years. It's almost impossible that we don't have a recession. They're all kind of metrics, inverted yield curve and this and that. Well, as it turns out, we've avoided a recession. We're doing much better than people thought.
Yep.
But in the grand scheme of things, 1.5-2% growth, that's not great historically. And I know the Fed is looking at some metrics and it's saying, we can do better, one. Yeah. And two, we've got some metrics that are deteriorating over the past year. For example, if you look at the broader unemployment numbers and you include people who consider themselves to be underemployed, those numbers have been creeping up for the past year. Mm-hmm. Job openings have been declining for the past 18 months. Fewer people are quitting jobs because they know it's harder to find one. Mm-hmm. Real disposable income growth has been trending downward for the past 18 months. And ultimately, that's going to drive consumption. And that's the biggest part of the economy. So I'll give you one more point. Atlanta Fed, they do a weekly GDP forecast that's widely followed in economic circles. It's called GDP Now. Beginning of February, they predicted the Q1 GDP for the U.S. would be 4%. Mm-hmm. Today, they're saying 2.4%. Okay. So not bad, but a definite deceleration happening right now.
Yeah.
And the Fed is looking at a lot of wild cards here in the deck. Oil prices are up at 90, and a lot of economists are calling they'll probably hit 100 by mid to late summer. That would be a big damper on the economy.
Yes.
The federal debt, as you know, is out of control. And what that's doing is that's driving up borrowing costs for everybody already. That's driving up market interest rates without the Fed having to do anything, right? So.
Yep.
Federal spending is taking care of those rate hikes for them. The stock market, I don't know if you play the stock market, but to me, I lived through the dot-com crash.
And
this looks a lot. I don't know. I'm not calling one way or the other, but it's certainly a risk, That bubble burst thing back in the day was one of the main contributors to a recession the following year. So, kind of all these things point to me that the Fed stated in December, we're going to have three rate cuts in 2024. Then, just this couple of weeks ago with their last meeting, Chairman Powell said explicitly, there's no significant diversion from our earlier policy statements, right? So that means Powell, 2 weeks ago, he still thinks three cuts are on the board.
For 2024?
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't seem likely to me at all.
Okay, so I got a question for you. So if you look at what's driving the higher inflation here over the past couple of months and you drill deep into it, it's being driven by a few things. Housing costs primarily, and then also insurance costs.
Insurance
for vehicles and insurance for houses.
Yep.
So if you take those three measures out, we're at our 2% Fed target today.
Right.
So my question then is, how is the Fed keeping interest rates high going to help with housing costs and insurance costs? And I don't have an answer for that.
I don't have an answer for that either, Rob.
Yes. Yeah. So that's why I'm sticking with believing what the Fed said, three rate cuts in 2024.
Okay.
Probably starting in July, right? And ending in December.
Okay.
But I wouldn't put my mortgage on that. You know, we've seen a lot of crazy geopolitical things going on, and you never know. The Fed rarely changes its stated policy, but it does on occasion if certain extenuating circumstances arise, and they take a lot of heat when they do that. So they hate to do that.
Okay. I'll admit, Rob, I'll admit, I didn't think there was anything that you were going to say today that would get me rethinking the idea of the Fed not changing interest rates through the end of the year, but you got me rethinking it.
Good. I gotta admit, I'm an outlier in the world of economists here, but I'm sticking with this position.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting, and it also makes me wonder, you know, with the stated goal out there of an inflation rate of 2%, could we get inflation all the way down to a 2% annual rate without going to a recession, without forcing a recession with even higher interest rates, you know, leading into it or something like that? I wonder if they could accomplish what the ultimate goal is without avoiding that recession. I'm not too sure that they could have.
Well, you know, I think the Fed and they're by heart, they're optimists. They want to achieve great things. They want that on their resume. We want our government policymakers to have confidence in America, the American economy, and think that we can be good or great, right? So I believe their bias is to try and drive this economy from here forward in a expansionary phase. Now, this problem is this thorny inflation numbers, which are not coming down as fast as they hoped. They admit it. They've said it as much. Inflation is going to be a little bit higher for longer. So my bias today, right now, is that they're hoping to push this economy stronger and crossing their fingers that within the next couple of months, this inflation at least doesn't get worse than it is.
Gotcha.
You know, it stays where it is.
Okay, there's only 30 seconds left here, Rob, but I got to ask this question. The elections in November, does that get in the way of the Fed's plans, or do they ignore it?
In my mind, they completely ignore it because, as we know, these cuts, they take some time to take effect, right? Mm-hmm. Even at the most optimistic, you know, scenario, if you cut rates today, we won't be until after the election till we really see the economic benefit of that. So
that's
I think they know that, and I don't think that the election has any concern to them.
Excellent. Excellent. It's a great report, Rob. Go to CoBank online to get a copy of it. It's really good. Rob, thank you so much. Appreciate you, man.
Okay, anytime, Chip. Bye.
You bet. Rob Fox, Director, Knowledge Exchange Division at CoBank.
Daily money management from Numbers R Us. It's all the same things an accountant does for a business, but for you. Whether it's an older loved one, a member of the military, or just someone who's too busy or constantly on the road, daily money management from Rhonda at Numbers R Us makes your financial life headache-free and avoids fees, family conflict, and fraud. Rhonda handles bills, deposits, and payments, monitoring accounts, and providing complete transparency. Set up a free visit with Rhonda at numbersrus.com.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
While the rest of the world paused during the COVID pandemic, Worthington, Minnesota has been busy. Worthington has rebuilt four parks, built an indoor turf rec center, a splash pad, a community pavilion, pickleball courts, lighted biking and walking trails, and added lake rentals. But we're just getting started. A lakeside eatery and a new outdoor aquatic center is coming. And here's the thing. Worthington, Minnesota is a great place to eat, play, live, and stay. This is your invitation. Worthington, it's worth a look.
And the Ad Council.
Level up your lineup with new Zalo herbicide. A convenient soluble premix formulated for glufosinate-tolerant soybean, cotton, and canola with better average weed control than Liberty herbicide. Get post-emergence broadleaf weed control, plus multiple modes of action for broad-spectrum contact and systemic grass control. Take control up a notch. Visit amvac.com/Zalo.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
AGCO is proud to launch PTX, a new leading brand that aligns precision ag technologies from Precision Planting and PTX Trimble. Two familiar brands with one common goal. Precision Planting and PTX Trimble know farming is easier when systems speak to each other. That's why they provide solutions that connect operations across the crop cycle to unlock visibility and flexibility, regardless of equipment color. Through automation, guidance, and upgrades for every season, PTX is your solution for precision ag technology, empowering you to be more efficient, more accurate, and make agronomic decisions with confidence. You'll find a local dealer network that provides expert knowledge and support for every season. As you focus on maximizing yield, they'll provide reliable service, education, and access to tools that strengthen your inputs. Innovative brands you trust, powerfully simple, seamlessly compatible. PTX. Visit ptxag.com to learn more.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us on this Monday morning, getting things rolling. Davis has got a couple of days off. He'll be back with us at the middle of the week. Boy, I tell you, we've been finding ways and haven't had to work that hard at it to continue to address the issue of the H5N1 virus making the jump from birds to bovine, and some of the other questions that it creates for all of livestock, for all the biosecurity measures that are out there, and stopping the virus from making the rounds through the livestock industry. So we're going to continue to talk about that. Right now we've got Dr. Megan Niederwerder. She is the executive director at the Swine Health Information Center. Dr. Niederwerder, thank you so much for making time for us this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Glad that you are here. Before we talk specifically about the webinar that's coming up at the end of the week, talk to me about the Swine Health Information Center. What is it? Who is it? Where is it? What's the mission?
Yes, the Swine Health Information Center was founded in 2015 with pork checkoff dollars, looking at what's the risk of emerging swine diseases to the U.S. industry. It was really formed after the introduction of porcine epidemic diarrhea virus, so that swine producers really wanted to support an organization that could be on the lookout for what's the next emerging disease risk to the U.S. industry.
Yeah, and here we are talking about H5N1 that has made the move from birds to dairy cattle so far. We've been talking a lot about it. The best possible outcome of the spread of this disease is that it stops when the migratory birds go back north. Worst case is if the virus continues to spread in cattle and makes a jump to other mammals. This webinar is about keeping the virus out of hog houses, correct?
Correct. We really wanted to have this webinar to ask the question, has the risk changed to the swine industry now that there are these detections of high-path AI in dairy cattle and in goats? And so really one of the missions of the Swine Health Information Center is to respond to new and emerging diseases in the industry, even if that's impacting other livestock species, to understand has the risk to swine changed and what can we put in place proactively to reduce the risk to our hogs.
Right. Okay. So let's go over the details of the webinar so that we can get it in twice. I want to make sure that people understand this. It's the HPAI in Livestock and Risk to Swine webinar. It is taking place on Friday, April 19th, this Friday, from 11 a.m. to 12:30 Central Time. It's a Zoom webinar. Now, Megan, where can people go to register for this webinar?
Yes, the webinar registration is available through a link on our website, which is swinehealth.org. We have this webinar in collaboration with the American Association of Swine Veterinarians and with Iowa State University. And so with that registration link, you go to a website to sign in your information with regards to name and email address. Then you'll be registered for the webinar to watch that live and to ask questions on Friday. If anyone misses the live webinar, however, we will also have a recording available again on our website after Friday. So swinehealth.org is the best place to locate that.
Okay, who's this going to have? The information in this webinar is going to be geared to, is it producers? Is it veterinarians? What is it?
Yes, what we're trying to utilize with the webinar is an overall information resource on influenza A. So where is the virus globally as well as nationally? How has it changed over recent years? What's the update on research, including risk to swine? We're also looking at understanding what's the current situation within the dairy industry. And so learning from their outbreak, learning lessons that they have identified with regards to biosecurity for wild birds. And we're also trying to inform producers and veterinarians utilizing our outbreak investigation tool to identify biosecurity hazards today that they can close that gap with regards to risk for avian waterfowl access to our hogs. And so it's really a all-encompassing webinar trying to inform risks, biosecurity hazards, the dairy industry situation, as well as just an overall overview of influenza.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So has the risk around H5N1 changed for the hog industry? Do you think it has?
You know, anytime a virus changes the species that is it is affecting or the geographic distribution, we have to be able to ask that question and say, how has the risk changed? I think certainly it is a impetus for pork producers and for the swine industry to consider how we best reduce the access of wild birds to our hogs or to any feed or water source that's going to have access to our hogs. So it's certainly an opportunity for us to learn early and to hopefully prevent any risk for introduction.
Okay. Yeah. Taking care of the animals that we've got responsibility for sometimes the goalposts move, and it feels like the goalposts are moving on this one right now, and the job has gotten a little bit tougher because of some of the things that are happening out there right now. So the Swine Health Information Center and the American Association of Swine Veterinarians are having a webinar this Friday, April 19th, 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Central Time. You can register for that webinar by going to www.swinehealth.org. Have I got all that right?
Yes, thank you so much.
You bet. All right, thank you very much. That is Dr. Megan Niederwerder. She is the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center with some important information coming up in that webinar this Friday. Be sure to tune in for that. Thank you for listening this morning. Come back this afternoon. We've got Mark Rempe, Quad Commodities.
If farmers know one thing to be true, it's this. There are a lot of factors you can't control. The weather, breakdowns, and a million other variables. But for all the uncertainty, you wouldn't change a thing. Because that's farming. And that's why Koch Agronomic Services works to make life on the farm a bit more predictable. From nutrient management and protection to plant growth and seed enhancement, get the confidence of being in control. Visit CokeAgSolutions.com.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
Attention landowners. Got big plans for your land? Tackle all your spring projects with a powerful John Deere machine. And now with 0% APR for 72 months on select compact tractors.